Hello, this is Pastor Patrick Hines, and welcome to today's program. And one of the things that we do at my house is we try to do family worship, family devotions, Bible reading every day. And we read through the Proverbs on a regular basis. We'll read through books of the Bible and do different things. But we recently started over in Proverbs. We finished up Proverbs, so we got back to chapter 1 and chapter 2 the last couple nights. And, you know, I watched the presidential catfight, I mean, debate, excuse me, and was just struck. I was so worn out by, at the end of it. I didn't watch the one that that Trump did with Biden, and I watched a little bit of the one that Trump did with Hillary Clinton before that. I mean, long ago, four years ago, or five or eight years ago, excuse me. And it was like, it was just double audio. What does that mean? It's a, here, let me turn the volume up. All the way up. Okay. So I was just thinking about the foolishness of so much that was said in that debate. And again, I just found myself, I have no idea, you know, who's telling me there. I printed some stuff like 15 minutes ago. It's just now coming out of my printer. That's pretty funny. And anyway, was thinking about some of the things that were being said. And, you know, how many times can Kamala Harris say, you know, we want to give women the right to do what they want with their body? I'm like, okay, I am not my mother. You are not your mother. Your body is not your mother's body. And, you know, there's a great article. It's actually horrific, but it's actually logically consistent. It's by a feminist, pro-abortion feminist named Mary Elizabeth Williams, called So What If Abortion Ends a Life? here, let me find it. I'll put it over here in the thing. And, She makes the argument that they need to quit saying things like that. Quit saying, hey, it's a woman's body. She can do what she wants with her own body. Let's see. Where does she say that? She says, there's nothing about traveling down a birth canal that makes a person something other than what it already was. I was like, yay, good thinking. The fact that the baby's inside the woman's body, it doesn't mean that it's not human or that it's not a person. And this woman says, you know, who cares if it sacrifices a life? Our lives are more important than the baby's. I think, well, hey, well, here's a liberal feminist, pro-abortion, pro-choice, pro-who knows what else, too, who's willing to say it. There, sorry, I just put it in there twice. But anyway, just thinking about the folly and the foolishness of political discourse these days, and how inane so much of it is. I mean, every statement that was made in the debate, it's, well, that's a lie. And then the first person, you know, whoever's rebutting, well, that's a lie. And then the other person rebuts, well, that's a lie. Lie, 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 lie. Well, who, was anything said that was true in the debate? I don't know. The other side claimed that every statement made by the other person was a lie. So, the folly of so much of it, the folly of man's wisdom in the face of what God describes as wise in his word is just so striking, and it's just becoming more and more clear. We need the Bible. Man, without the fear of Yahweh, without the fear of his creator or her creator, is a fool. And we read the first two chapters of Proverbs, our last family worship times, and I was just marveling at the glorious wisdom of God in his word, in opposition. I mean, it was really a contrast to start over in Proverbs and read Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2 in light of watching this latest presidential debate. I look at the candidates, and certainly I think they're both evil. One is less evil than the other, but it's indicative of a nation that's under the judgment of God. That's why we have these two candidates. We're under the judgment of God. That's why there's so much argument. Well, Should we vote for the lesser of two evils? I mean, has there been an election where there was any other option? I mean, there's always 20 or so people running. I mean, there's always tons of people running. But we all know it's going to be one or the other of those two. But anyway, I gripe too much about things like that. We need revival, and we need a return to the wisdom of our Creator now more than we ever have in the entire history of this nation. And I wanted to read Proverbs 1 and maybe a little bit of Proverbs 2 and just make some comments. I want you to listen. Listen in light of the folly that you've been listening to on the news and in presidential debates and the rhetoric coming from candidates. Let's listen to what the life creator says about life. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. How many young men today need some knowledge and discretion? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of Yahweh, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You try to give wisdom, try to give knowledge to a fool, and they'll despise you for it. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your neck, on your head, and chains about your neck. I asked the kids, my little youngins, what is an ornament? A decoration. I said, so if you listen to the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, which is a poetic way of saying obey your parents and listen to their instructions about life, especially, you know, if you have godly parents, listen to what they say. What does that mean? And one of my little kids says, you'll look like a Christmas tree because you'll have ornaments all over you. And so that was a good laugh. Chains about your neck, an ornament on your head. What does that mean? You want your life to go well? Listen to the wise. Don't listen to folly. Don't listen to the fools on TV. And then it goes into this fascinating discussion that I fear many of our politicians have done stuff like this, and these are the kinds of people they surround themselves with. Listen, Proverbs 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. That's abortion, isn't it? Let's lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let's shed their blood and make money doing it. Let us swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. You hear what this is saying? Let's make ourselves fat. Let's make ourselves rich on the backs of the innocent. And isn't that what's happening today? Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. Now I asked my kids, if there's a bunch of birds in the backyard, and you see it there on the ground, and you want to catch a bird, and you run towards the bird with a net, what is that bird going to do? They all said, it's going to get frightened and fly away. Exactly. You don't spread the net in the sight of the bird will see you and fly away. You got to set a trap secretly if you want to catch a bird, right? You got to put bait there and so it can't see the net. But this is saying that people who live their lives this way, people who live like fools, people who are willing to make themselves rich on the backs of the innocent, who shed blood, it says, In vain, the net is spread in the sight of a bird. Well, because the bird's going to see it and fly away. But these lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. In other words, they're destroying themselves. You see, that's all God has to do. If God wants to bring a nation under judgment, what does he have to do? Just leave it alone. Proverbs 8:36, the wisdom of God personified there says, all who hate me love death. Psalm 34, verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked. God just says, okay, you guys want to mutilate your bodies and pretend you're the other biological sex than the one I gave you? Okay, you're all going to die. You're just killing yourselves. You're not going to have any kids. You're just going to populate the cemetery. And what's going to be left? Empty playgrounds, empty buildings, death. You're lying in wait for your own life. You're setting a trap for yourselves. There's another proverb. It says the wicked digs a pit and then falls into it. In other words, how foolish is it? If you're a fool and you hate God and you think the Bible, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what ancient goat herders said about God. You're going to dig a pit and fall into it. You're going to kill yourself. And that's what our nation's doing right now. It's killing itself. It's slitting its own throat. You know, our Constitution, you think about the founding of this great nation. You know, all of the biblical ideas that went into it. And it was all about securing the blessings of liberty. Well, you can't really secure the blessings of liberty for your citizens if you're killing them in the womb. When many people don't realize this, many people don't even care. Did you know a third of the people that you would have known in your life, a third of your fellow church members, a third of your fellow co-workers, a third of the people that you would have been friends with and grown up with and been able to do things with, are dead. A third. One third of Americans are murdered before they're born. A third. A third of your friends, a third of the people you would have known, a third of the people you would have sat in pews with in the church are dead. Securing the blessings of liberty is what our Constitution and our founders were all about. Securing the blessings of liberty for who? How about the most innocent and the most vulnerable? How about the unborn? That part of the debate, it makes me sick that the abolition of abortion is no longer part of either party. They've pulled the plank out of the ship, the Republican Party has. And now it's all about regulating murder. Well, how many weeks are you allowed to do this at? It's just appalling. The amount of innocent blood that's been shed through that atrocity of abortion, it's absolutely appalling. But, you know, it is the end result of death culture. If you hate God, when you hear the Bible and someone says, let me talk to you about Jesus, and you laugh and mock and scorn, and I don't care about the Bible. I don't care what ancient goat herders said about anything like this. Oh, okay. Then you're just going to kill yourself. And that's what our country's doing. If God lifts his hand a little bit, pulls back the restraint a little bit, what do? We all kill ourselves. And that's what's happening. Our culture is dying. And we're not replacing ourselves anymore. We're killing our kids. And it's a mess. God eventually does say, okay, you guys can have what you want. And what's the end result? Death. Death, despair, loneliness, a loss of community, a loss of friends. You're wet nurse to a government that would just as soon slit your throat for $10 as it would anything else. You think the United States government loves you or cares about you? I assure you it doesn't. It doesn't. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but these wicked people, they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. They spread a net for themselves and then die in it. They dig a pit and then fall right into it. And it says in verse 19, so are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. it takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom, on the other hand, calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. Let me translate that to America in today's culture, today's society. American society today. The average American home has 4 Bibles in it. The majority of them will never be opened. Wisdom's calling out from your bookshelves. From behind the dusty pages of the Word of God, she raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Kamala, the baby's not the woman's body. You're not your mother. I'm not my mother. What could be more obvious than that? And yet people, oh yeah, if you're against abortion, you don't think a woman should be able to do what she wants with her own body. That is such a stupid argument. I'm not my mother. Oh, might as well try to talk to a wall. Fools hate knowledge. I mean, the Bible describes people who despise obvious truths that, you know, men are men, women are women, we're different from each other. Scorners despise obvious things. Those that turn against God hate the wisdom of God, hate the obvious truths before us. Baby isn't its mother. The mother isn't the baby. It's a separate and distinct DNA signature and profile. Separate and distinct fingerprints. What's amazing to me is there are states in this country where abortion is legal, but if you murder a pregnant woman, you'll be charged with 2 counts of murder. What? Because, you see, man apart from God is a fool. He's a fool. And you think, you know, it's a horror story what goes on in these abortion clinics, these filthy abortion clinics where they murder the innocent for money. You know, partial birth abortion, that abortion clinic in Cincinnati there that closed down not too long ago, Martin Haskell was the name of the abortion provider at that clinic. He was the man who invented partial birth abortion, where you deliver the baby all the way out except for its head, and then you jam scissors in the back of the skull, open it up and suck the brains out so you can get it out. Because if the baby comes all the way out, then there's laws in place that protect the baby and they've got to try to keep it alive. But as long as part of it's still inside the mother, you can do whatever you want. Isn't that satanically evil? And yet this little loophole in the abortion laws allowed for this. Partial birth abortion. I mean, we were doing worse than Josef Mengele at Auschwitz was doing. I mean, we're worse than them, and I really do wonder. If God brings revival and the gospel is heard again and people are converted en masse, I think that those abortion clinics may very well turn into our own Holocaust museums, where people can walk through them and come out crying, weeping. How could this happen here? How could this nation allow babies to be murdered like this? And I really believe future generations are going to rise up and curse us for not speaking to that issue more. Unbelievable. But we are a nation of hard-hearted, cold-blooded, ruthless ideologues, indoctrinated in the government schools to think a certain way. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fools delight in their scorning. Scorners delight in scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Excuse me, the baby is a different person from the mother. Oh, you're just a misogynistic patriarch. You know, that's the kind of rhetoric that works today. Emotional, nonsensical, irrational silliness passes for discourse today. You know, I've studied logic. So many great books over the years I've studied. Part of me is thinking, what's the point? Why be an expert on logic when nobody thinks logically anymore? I mean, when the kinds of arguments... Were any real arguments made in that debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris? I just thought, how do people score debates today? Whoever got in the most insults? I mean, it was a catfight. I just thought, wow. There's actually a really good book. I would recommend it to you. A book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. It's kind of dated. It's a little older book, but man, is it worth it. Political Discourse in an Age of Show Business is the subtitle of the book. And he compares paragraphs from the presidential debate during the lifetime of Abraham Lincoln, the Lincoln-Douglas debate, compared with a modern debate with Bill Clinton and whoever he was running against way back in the day. And there's no comparison. Can you imagine comparing the Lincoln-Douglas debate with the Trump-Harris debate? I mean, there's nothing to diagram or dissect in a debate today. It's a catfight. And those debates back then lasted 8 hours. Their opening statements would be a couple hours each. It would take a PhD from today to understand what they were even talking about. Wisdom crying out. Proverbs 1, I digress. Proverbs 1:23. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you have disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Listen, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. We're a nation that is saturated with Bibles. Saturated with Christian radio, Christian conferences, Christian books. But nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. So many have been taught by the seeker-sensitive, hipster, pragmatic, we want to be cool but conservative approach to doing church and preaching and ministry and everything else. So many have been taken in by that. And they think that that's the wisdom of God. It's not. It's not. We need to return to the solas of the Reformation. We need to return to God as the sovereign king of the universe. Oh yeah, I know. That's not going to be as popular today, but you know what? Who cares? The world needs what's true. And if that means, well, nobody wants to go to our churches, okay, then that's what it means. Our call is to be faithful, not pragmatic. God says, I will laugh at your calamity. God's not going to feel sorry for us when the bottom falls out from us because we haven't been listening. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge? Yeah. They hated knowledge. Here's some knowledge. Men are men. And women aren't men. And men aren't women. And the body parts are designed to work a certain way, and it doesn't work that way. That's against nature. The LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ IAAAAA movement, whatever you want to call it, plus, whatever. It doesn't work. The end result is death. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They lived in denial of what is plain and obvious to everyone. What is plain and obvious by the created order itself. They hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What does that mean to fear the Lord? It means to cleave to him in reverence and honor. It means to listen to his wisdom over your own. Listen to verse 30 of Proverbs 1. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Go out on a Brother Rich's channel here and look at all the shorts. Look at all the little nuggets he's pulled out of Pastor Romesh's sermons and Ken Stewart's sermons and all the other sermons and the shorts from Spurgeon, from myself. And look at some of the comments. They despise my every rebuke. People hate what is obviously true. Why? Well, because we want to be sensual and we want to sin and we want to engage in every kind of immorality and wickedness, and we don't want people reminding us of what is obvious and what is true. They despise my every rebuke, says God. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. That's one of the most terrifying things. When God says, that's what you guys really want? Y'all really want to do this? You want to mutilate your bodies and slash yourselves up and pretend to be the other biological sex? You want to act like fools? Y'all want to die? Okay. You can have the fruit of your own way. Go ahead and eat it. And you can be filled to the full with your own fancies. And then he says, the last two verses of Proverbs 1, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. Not an army. Not a well-trained military force. The turning away of the simple will slay them. A simpleton just walking away will kill us. Why? Because we're killing ourselves. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Okay, everybody, that's just one chapter. Just one chapter of God's word. Proverbs chapter 2 is glorious. Listen, my son, notice how many times in the Proverbs, I mean, over and over and over, I think it's chapter 2, begins with my son. Chapter 3, my son. Chapter 4, hear my children, the instruction of a father. Chapter 5, my son. Chapter 6, my son. What is this? This is fathers teaching their kids. This is the older teaching the younger. This is the wise in local churches passing their wisdom on to the rising generation. We have to engage that task. My son, Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. For Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Folks, what is the only source of the mouth of God speaking in the world today? It's the Bible. Scripture. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Why are there so many vile decrees and gross, disgusting laws that promote murder and destruction and misery and bloodshed and death and a lack of fruitfulness and depravity? Why are there so many decrees that do that? Because the unrighteous are in power. Isaiah 10 verse 1, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees. Woe to those who say it's a woman's right to pay someone to murder her unwanted unborn children. Woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune which they have prescribed to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of punishment and in the desolation which will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Woe to those who put into law unrighteous decrees to rob the fatherless and the needy of justice. Make no mistake about it, their blood cries out. And God will answer. God will answer every single drop of innocent blood that has been shed behind closed doors by these men in white lab coats, these women in white lab coats with their instruments of death, where they wait in secret for the innocent and prey upon them for money. God sees all of it, and he will surely repay all of it in this life or the next. Says in Psalm 10, verse 8, his ways are always prospering. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Oh, yes, he has big houses with swimming pools and tennis courts and goes on elaborate vacations. Oh, yes. God's judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all of his enemies, he snorts at them. He sneers at them. He laughs at them and mocks them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and bitterness and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account, but you have seen. You observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. It is a dreadful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of this God who is dreadfully provoked. Oh yes, the wicked will hear this podcast. They will hear my words and laugh and snort and sneer and curse at us and cuss at us and make obscene gestures at us. But in their heart of hearts, when their head is the pillow at night, their conscience screams to them, you are guilty. And God sees it all. Proverbs 2:10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Listen to this. And who rejoice in doing evil. Really? Are there people who rejoice in doing evil? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Our nation's full of them. Many of them are occupy places of incredible power and influence. Rejoice in doing evil. Listen. Who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. There are people who rejoice and delight in the perversity of the wicked. There are people who delight and rejoice at perverts and perversion. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They take pride in it. I mean, it's paraded in the streets. What's perverted? Twisted. And they delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. If you listen to wisdom, you'll be delivered from such people. Do not walk in their ways. Do not walk in the way of the wicked. And do not walk in the path of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they are not content unless they have made someone stumble. But the path of the righteous is like the shining sun. Folks, what do we need to do today? What do Christians need to do today? We need to pray. Pray for pastors, pray for ministers that they would recover confidence in justification by faith alone, and that they'd get it right and not mess up the definition of everything in that phrase. Get faith wrong, justification wrong, get the word by wrong. What does by faith alone mean? We need the gospel. The sinners are helpless before God. We are justified not by works, but by leaning on, resting on, relying upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, his personal righteousness imputed to our legal account by God, by faith alone, by believing in Christ alone, not by working, but by believing. That message has got to be heard again. And I'm preaching on it this coming Saturday morning at 8 a.m. And starting tomorrow night at 6, we're doing the Solos Conference. There's going to be 5 lectures by 3 men, and then one more, me, by 4 of us, on the things that are the most important, the things that the Christian church most needs to recover in our time. Please pray that the conference will be seen on the internet, that there'll be a good turnout at Chalcedon Presbyterian Church tomorrow night at 6 on this channel. Please watch it. And then post the talks to social media. Post it on Facebook, on X, or whatever it is. Post it all over the place. People need to hear the truth. That is literally the only hope we have. People don't hear the gospel. They don't hear the truth. This nation doesn't have long left, I think. If things don't change, if there's not wide-scale repentance, revival, we're in lots of trouble. Now, I need to make sure that my talk is ready on justification. I need to edit it and make sure it's the way I want it. I'm talking on justification by faith alone on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We'll see what kind of a crowd we can generate on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m., but you know, the right people will be there, and the right people will see it. The gospel, which is justification by faith alone. Faith isn't works. Faith doesn't include works. Faith is not obedience. Faith is the opposite of working, to the one not working but believing but trusting in Christ alone. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Christ's personal righteousness is legally imputed to our account because we cannot be saved by works. God's law does indeed require a personal, perfect, perpetual obedience at all times. That's why we can't be saved by our works. We need Christ alone. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. We need to hear those truths. It's grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, and to God alone be the glory. You want a healthy antidote to the nonsense that's all over the news and all over TV and all over political discourse today? You might need to repent of how little you read this precious book, the Bible. We need to be a generation of Bible readers again. We need to take these words into our hearts and hide them there so that we're different from the culture, so that we stand out from the culture. So we, like Daniel in Babylon, Daniel, that was his real name, not Belteshazzar. So like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those were the Babylonian names, the real names. We need to keep our real names as baptized children of the living God who trust in Christ alone. I know there's a lot of Christians in China, there's a lot of Christians in South Korea, a lot of Christians in South Africa and India. I don't think there's as many in America as we think, because the gospel's almost gone, and heresy is on the rise. There's almost no discernment to see it for what it is. With the federal, I mean, there's a whole generation coming up being seduced to the federal vision, not realizing it was condemned by 7 NAPARC denominations. And here it is coming back again. None of its leaders have repented of anything. And you have young guys being seduced to it. It's tragic. It's evil. We need the true gospel. God's sovereignty. Justification. Sola fide. You see, I got this Bible from Reformed Sage. See what that says on there? Sola fide. Faith alone. Every time I have open my Bible, my New Geneva Study Bible on here, I see sola fide on there. Faith apart from works. As the Belgic Confession said, we are therefore said to be justified by faith apart from works, that is, by faith alone. That's what we need. We need God's wisdom. We need knowledge of obvious things, because America's forgotten the obvious. So please tune in to this channel tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Get your family together, get your friends together, get your church together. Listen to the talks, get your Bibles, and then tune in again at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Go pour a bucket of ice water on anyone that's still asleep. Get them in front of a computer at this channel, Preaching starts again. Three more talks on Saturday morning. The Solos Conference. We need pure Christianity again. Apart from that, this nation is hopeless. We need the gospel. We need repentance. We need revival. Pray for it. Thank you all for watching or for listening.